Our counselor is the glorified God-man. I didn't know that when I was saved. I didn't know that when I was baptized. I didn't know that when I took my first Lord's Supper in a Missionary Baptist church. I didn't know that. But it has been something that I have found great joy in understanding. And it is something that I didn't know that in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. And I didn't know that I was complete in Him. I just knew that I was going to hell because the Holy Spirit convicted me every time I went to church after I was about 8 years old. And the harder I tried to please Him, the worse it got. Now, this verse of Scripture is very interesting. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government, the whole creation, the government of the whole creation shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful, the word among the things it means is miracles. And Jesus said, if you won't believe what I say as to who I am, He said, then believe me for the work's sake. And Jesus said that in Him was God, and He did what His Father told Him. The office of the Father was God the Father. And He did what His Father told Him, but He was a man. It's called the humanity of Christ. And in that perfect sinless flesh, there lived all the fullness of the Godhead. And He was the perfect Son of David, the perfect Son of man, and He called Himself that on a few occasions. Now, the word counselor, if you look it up, you will discover that it actually means it just says to counsel. But it also has a meaning that would make you think, and I suspect is, the office of the Holy Spirit Himself, who Jesus sent as Himself after His ascension, and who came down on the church at Pentecost. And He filled the whole room, all of it. And cloven tongues sat on the top of their heads, or what looked like cloven tongues. You'll see that on some church buildings. They'll have a cloven tongue, fiery cloven tongue. And the Holy Spirit lives in me, because of what He says in Revelation 9, 6 and 7. He says that this Son that is given, the office of the Son, it says that He is, this is the child in the manger, this is the seed, the great I Am, the fullness of God. He says He's the mighty God, that's who Jesus is, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And counselor means that He's in you, and He left the Bible to be your counselor. He told the first New Testament church, and He was very distinct about it. He said, what an if ye shall see the Son of Man, He called Himself the Son of Man, descend up where He was before. He said, what if you see Him ascend up into heaven? He made it very clear. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. And it was the Spirit that quickened me the night I was saved. Did I know that? Well, I knew something had happened, because all of a sudden there was a great relief in my soul that had been bothering me for more than 4 years. And I was told that if I would call upon the name of Jesus, the name of the Son, if I would call upon him, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And his name was Jesus. That was his name. If I would call on him to save me, he would save me. Very simple promise. And by that time, I had learned more and more and more about how really sinful I was. And at that point in my life, I thought I was the most sinful person in life. I kept it all inside me. I didn't rob any banks. I only lied to grandmother. I smoked corn silk behind the barn. I looked at girls and lusted and didn't even understand what was happening, but I knew I sure liked to look. And all these things bothered me. I thought I was the chief of sinners. Well, I came to learn I am the chief of sinners. But when you first come into this world, you don't know much about anything. But God made sure that you learned what you were, because that's what you're saved from. He doesn't hold you accountable for sins when you come to him as his child and you confess them. Not blame them on somebody else, but just accept them. I'm going to talk about this word counselor, because it means, it has in it the idea to convict, to, it's just a counselor. I have one of my daughters that was counseled by a counselor. She wasn't being counseled, but she worked in his office for him, and he was the counselor. I'm not going to tell his name because my daughter would probably get mad at me. But she worked in his office there, and she was in there with him one day, and he said, you know, I think one day after I retire from this, he said, I think I'm just going to be a marriage counselor. My daughter was so stunned, she said, I can't mention his name, so I'll give him another. She said, Mr. Flutenheimer, you've been married 4 times already. And so he wouldn't make a very good counselor. Jesus never married. You'd say, well, I bet he never was tempted about women. I bet he was. He had every temptation, but he never once gave in to it. Fellas, that's quite remarkable, isn't it? I mean, that's absolutely amazing. I guess that might be what you call wonderful. And the word that's used for counselor means someone who's there in you. I think the best scripture to understand the word counselor is the one you hear me quote so often, and that's one of the reasons I quote it. He says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is pleasure? It's to accomplish your purpose. You get a lot of pleasure out of accomplishing your purpose. And one of the words used to describe in Strong's Concordance, used to describe a counselor, is someone who actually purposes. And for it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good purpose or pleasure. Do all things without murmuring or disputing. It is natural for men and women to murmur and dispute. You were born with that characteristic. And as you grew, it developed in you. And it's something that it means mine, mine, mine. From the first time you had a little baby you played with, you played together, mine, 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 mine. And what you want is your will and your way. And in some, it's very passive. In others, it's very evident. And the truth of the matter is, counselor means worthy of praise. And God is certainly worthy of praise. Now, he goes on, and this is Jesus. Bet you didn't know this when you were baptized. Bet you didn't know this when you were saved, before you were baptized. Bet you didn't even know it when you took your first communion. Some of you may have, but not very many. I'll bet the night or day or whenever you were saved and you felt relief because you believed that he had saved you, then I'll bet that you didn't know he was going to be your counselor. You didn't know he was the mighty God. You didn't know he was the everlasting Father. You didn't know he was a Prince of Peace. Now, my question is, do you know it now? You say, well, how did you get to know that? By the grace of God. I thank God every day that he called me to preach. Because in my vanity, it was very important to me not to mispreach the word of God. I wanted to impress people. My motives were wrong. But God knew my motives, and God knew that I was wrong. God knows all about me. He knows all about you. I learned that from the Word of God, by others who had come to understand it, and sometimes just by God's Word alone. And there it was, black and white, and I began to look at myself and understand myself. Now I want you to listen to Isaiah 40, 1 through 4. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. That's coming. For she hath received of the Lord hands double for all her sins. Why am I preaching this morning? Because God led me to do it. Because I just felt like inside, that's what he wanted. And you better believe, I checked with him constantly now because sometimes I think I've worked it, well, not sometimes, I didn't realize it, but I had worked my own ideas into the scriptures and I was wrong to do that. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Remember John the Baptist when they asked who he was? The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You say, well, that was his first advent. Yeah, you're right. And he came as a lamb. And John announced his coming. And they crucified the lamb, which was what God intended. For it pleased God to bruise him. To make him the offering for our sins. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Do I think that means spiritually? Yeah, I do. But many times when you see things like this, they're literal. And I guarantee you, when he comes back as the Lion of Judah, he's going to bring through a remnant out of the actual time known as the beginning, known as the Great Tribulation, as some call it, which I don't agree with that, but through what I would just simply call the vials of wrath. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now all of a sudden, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the wisest man who ever lived, besides God, of course, besides Jesus. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why did God give the law? Well, he wanted a good conclusion. And the conclusion is, God gave the law, the word, so that man might see how sinful he really is. And God gave the law so that we might turn to Jesus Christ. He wanted man to see just exactly what he had become. And so he fulfilled every single jot and tittle of it. I went to Jesus because I was finally helpless. I didn't know what else to do. I had tried. I believed there was a God. I believed Jesus was his son. But I had never come to understand. I had to come to him helpless. And the night I got saved, I was absolutely helpless. And that night was the first time I ever understood, Tom, you're just going to have to trust him. You can't do it. I didn't hear a little voice in my ear, but I felt it in me, and I was being convicted by it. How did I know this? Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. That's why he gave the law, to bring us unto Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ existed in the Old Testament. You better believe that. And I'm one of those preachers that believes that God created time, which is supposedly the fifth dimension. And I think when that seventh trumpet sounds, there's not going to be any more time as we understand it, because I believe God was before time and everything else. He was God from the beginning. He is the absolute Alpha, and he will never end. That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. I'm not under the law anymore. They didn't understand that in the Old Testament. But when they got desperate, and when they realized, help, 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 help. And David was a man after God's own heart. And David believed God gave him for what he forgave him for what he did. And God did. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That hasn't changed. Did God know who Christ Jesus was? Well, God knew there was a higher power up there, and God knew that God was a lot of things to him. And he grew in grace and he grew in faith. And he died as a very old man, full of years. And he was a man after God's own heart. The more you realize your helplessness, the more you turn to God. And the more you turn to God, the more you start to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He gave you his righteousness because you cannot attain to it. He is the only righteous man who ever lived. And who is the only man who ever lived? The Son of David, the Son of Man, who died without ever committing a single sin and had the right and the authority to take our sins in his own body on the tree, that God might be just and the justifier of them which believeth in Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, after Seth's son was born, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You say, well, what if they didn't call him Jesus? Well, isn't he the Lord? Hasn't he always been the Lord? Isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? They had a hard time because they didn't understand what I'm preaching. But God gave us a better covenant. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they came in one man. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now we've seen God. The disciples handled him. The disciples there with him. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The more you seek to be like him, how do you do that? Well, he's in you. And he's the only righteousness you have. And as the only righteousness you have and the only goodness you have, You turn to His Word. His written Word. The Bible itself. You have the Spirit of God living in you in the fullness. And you turn to what He has to say. And He gives you peace and understanding and trust and hope and love in Him. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Imogene and I learned that together. Imogene responded quickly. I responded slowly. But God gave her to me so that I could understand that I saw radiating out of her the very person of the Son of David and the Son of Man, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. So let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Wait a minute, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. What's my duty? Well, He's taught me I can't keep it. He's taught me that well. This has to mean try. And He tells us that He has an advocate. He is the advocate. And I run to Him and ask for forgiveness. You say, well, what is spiritual growth? You don't have to run quite as much anymore. Because the more you follow Him, the more you love Him, and you realize you only love Him because He first loved you. And you let Him fight against it in your heart and in your life and the totality of your person. Well, what happens? You grow spiritually. You keep coming to church. You keep wanting to learn how important it is to follow His way, His truth, and His life. And you find a great peace in life. And you find that you don't break out of His fellowship nearly as often. And pretty soon you're afraid, I don't want to break out of this. I don't want this to end. I don't want this to stop. And so you start doing what He wants more often. And you start to radiate His personality. And when you start to radiate His personality, people see Him. Oh, they see your body, but they see you're different. And they see the glory of God shine out of you. Sometimes faintly, sometimes a lot. But seeking the righteousness of God and His kingdom means I want to live there. I want to be there where He is. I don't want to live outside the city. Do you know many people don't even know that He's got a place prepared up there? And He gives intimate, direct, precise descriptions of it. And we have a kingdom in the millennium. We have a kingdom coming in the final heaven age. If you ever believe that, and you think that no matter what a great sinner you were or are, that if you actually let Him change your heart and your life by His Spirit that lives in you, you might get to live in that city forever. You'll be very happy outside the gates, but not nearly as happy as you will be inside. And I think sometimes those people living outside the gates, well, I won't say that because I don't know, but I know it pays to live. To live a life for Christ dedicated to Him after you're saved. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, how about this? Revelation 22, 11 through 14. This is addressed to churches. This is addressed to churches. Now, I hope you don't believe that people and church members that are saved, scripturally baptized, and observe the Lord's Supper correctly, I hope you don't believe that some of them are unjust, because they are. I hope you don't think that some of them don't live filthy lives. They do. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you don't understand grace. I understand grace. How deeply do you understand it? I'm going to learn some more about it. The more I seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Well, if you find out that Jesus gave you your righteousness, and you find out that your hope is in Jesus, and Paul said that he wanted to understand all this, and God led him. And he that is holy, set apart, hagaso, let him be set apart still. If your life is set apart, God sets you apart, and he won't take it back. He won't take your salvation back. If you go filthy, if you become unjust, he will not take your salvation away. But don't expect the full inheritance in heaven. Don't expect the full reward of the inheritance in heaven. And why on heaven's name don't you want to understand this? This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Some people enjoy worshiping the mammon of this world. They just don't want to give it up. Now, and behold, I come quickly. That's an adverbial modifier used as a descriptive adjective. And it means when he comes, he's going to come quickly and you're going to get caught in whatever state you're in. The only solution to that is, don't get filthy. Don't be unjust. And come out of that and seek his kingdom and his righteousness. When you fail, he'll forgive you. But he's not going to forgive you forever, eternally, without taking some of your inheritance. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You've got to take the whole Bible in order to understand things. And I do not claim to understand all things. I'm still trying to understand. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed, Makarios, ecstatically happy, are they that do his commandments. Well, you say, how do I work that? You just keep on confessing them and fighting against. Let God fight the battle in you and let your hope grow in him and let him grow love in you, his kind of love, that they may have right to the tree of life and may they enter in through the gates into the city. Isaiah 41:28. I had studied this for years and I used it when I was in Africa and I kind of came to understand what it meant. Isaiah 41:28-42:4-9, then 9-15. For I behold, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor. There was no one to counsel. There was no perfect counselor. There was no spirit to tell them, in them, to inform them, that when I ask of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, and their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. Behold, my servant who I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. There are three offices: the Father of the Son, the Father, God Almighty, and that's his name. And the other one is the Counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, who is also Jesus. And it is the office, and all of those are one God in Christ Jesus. He says, he shall not lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Jesus wasn't a loud mouth. The only time he ever showed a great frustration was when he saw his Father's house being used as a merchandising place, and they were selling rotten, corrupt sheep to be sacrificed to the ones who came down who didn't have sheep. And then he run them off. But Jesus was gentle. He was very kind. He preached with authority. I'm sure his voice inflected, sometimes way up, sometimes down. But he wasn't somebody that just got out in the street and tried to stir up a rebellion. A bruised reed shall he not break. When I was over there, I understood what this was, and I also understood it when I was in Israel, and I went back and looked at the way they constructed buildings. Now, a bruised reed shall he not break. Over there, when they were building a building, and they put branches over the top of it, layer after layer after layer after layer after layer after layer of branches on a frame. And they fixed them where it wouldn't leak. They put so many off, it would just run off. And they didn't ever use a bruised branch, because bruised branches are branches that have a tendency to, when the rain comes down, eventually to break apart. So they took whole branches, and they looked at them very carefully. And I saw these all over Africa, in both the Sahara and down in the central part. And I've seen some in Israel. And they would lay them on there. I've seen them in kibbutzes, on them and on them and on and on them. And I've lived in one. And for a little while. And so they would only take the very best. Jesus said, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God's son, he was God. And he only took whole branches. No, he took broken branches. He took bruised branches, he just put them up there. Well, he may have put some up there that weren't broken, but he put those up there that had been bruised. And that's the kind of people that the Lord loves. That's the people that respond to God. And he uses all of us. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And he uses broken things, like me and like you, to build whatever he's going to build. And they understood this when I taught the children at a large orphanage down there. They were out there barefooted and all over the place inside, and they had lived in places just like this. He said, a bruised reed shall he not... A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Over there they had little Aladdin's lamps made out of clay. And in these Aladdin lamp things, they had this in the time that this was written. They would run a piece of flax down through it and connect with the olive oil, which was not refined like our olive oil. And then they would light the wick. And it would burn for a long, 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 long time. Well, the rich people that did this, when the flax got to put out a long vaporous tail like a comet, they wouldn't even bother to snip it off. They'd just throw it away, and they'd put a brand new one in. But the poor people would cut off the smoked part, the burnt part. And they would keep using that old flax until there wasn't anything left. And that's the way God is. Whenever he uses things, he uses it to the fullest. And these were poor people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God had a reason for you being here. God had a reason for me being here. And God doesn't discard us. He keeps us. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and he did, and the isles wait for his law, and it came. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you all of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Well, I would say that pretty well covers even the earth as we know it today. Let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voices. The villages, that like the Kedar, that was just east of Jerusalem. Today it's in the West Bank, that Kedar doth inherit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. He's talking about the rock that housed the Edomites and the Edomite. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. That's where they were. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. What happened to that lamb? What happened to that quiet, gentle Jesus? Well, where's he at? This is when he comes again. I have long time holding my peace. I have still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once, make the rivers islands, and I will draw up the pools. I love that. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen, I will help, I will uphold thee with a hand of my righteousness. That hand is righteous, is the office of the Son. And God himself, is his office is the Father. And then as the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus. There's only this way that they're godly. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee, shall perish. They shall seek them, and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. As I read this, think about it, and thank God that you're not going to be among these. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's the office of the Son. And he's all those names that Isaiah claimed. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. Thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Comes off of wheat. Thou shalt fan them, and the world shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. This is coming. It's going to happen to Israel, and we're going to be over there, and we're going to enjoy this. We're going to watch it. And God will bring a remnant out of the Negev wilderness and out of the tribulation period, out of the pouring out of the vials, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, this is the millennial reign, and their tongue for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I think the Lord God will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I pool of water in the dry land, springs of water. That's coming. None of these trees here are normally in the desert. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the Negev wilderness. It once was just sand. The shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. They don't fit in that place. They don't grow there, but they do now, and they will throughout the millennial reign, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created. That's God's word. It means just exactly what it says. And that's what we've got to look forward to. So, we all need to keep track of that. We all need to be aware of it. And we all need to give glory to God. Most of all, we can give glory to God by letting people see that he's in us. Daniel went over to the kingdom of the Babylonians. He was over all the wise men. He lived there a long, long time. They all see him. They all knew him. Do you think...